holiness, we need to stay linked into what is righteous and what is holy.
Come thou fountain, every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace.
Thanks for joining us at the Hope of Our Calling. Let's get started in our study of Ephesians.
Putting off. Last week, we covered verses, Ephesians 4, verses 20 through 24, and we talked about how Paul was exhorting that we hadn't learned Christ in the manner that the world was starting to rush over us and distract us. Of course, he's talking to the church in Ephesus, so he's talking to believers. And so the exhortation was, examine yourself. You know, how are you walking? And that we're to be walking according to how we've learned Christ. And that we're to put off the former conduct. When he told Nicodemus in John 3:3, you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. Every believer comes to that point, instead of being enticed, to being fully immersed and believing with their whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that's the point of being born again, where you are born into the kingdom of God. His Spirit is given to you as a deposit, and the Spirit begins to do a work in your heart. And we learn that the Spirit teaches us and guides us into all truth, and that we need to depend on the Holy Spirit as we walk with the Lord, because Holy Spirit is the power of God, is the wisdom of God that guides us every day. And when we look back at the old man, the old man was corrupted by deceitful lusts. And, you know, I'm so thankful in Galatians where Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am, who will save me from this body of death? I do the things I don't want to do, and I don't do the things I want to do. So if the apostle Paul wrestled with it, it's easier for me to forgive myself. And then in verse 23, it said, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And throughout the gospel, we continue to hear this exhortation of renewing your mind, put the mind of Christ on. Because the mind of Christ is walking in the light. It's the truth. It's the narrow path that few find. So it's imperative that our mind is constantly renewed. Our minds are renewed in his word. Because basically what we do is we take the truth and we replace the lie. The deceitful, corruptive lusts of the old man are propelled by the power of the enemy, the father of lies. So when we start, all of a sudden we're introduced to the light and we come into the light, the truth of God's word, the truth of who God is and his love for us, all of a sudden there's a whole new set of standards. And pretty soon we see, oh wait, you know what? I want the good standard to replace the old standard. And so by renewing our mind in his word every single day, that's exactly what we're doing. We're pushing out, we're tossing out the garbage, and we're renewing our mind. And so be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So we must remember that we're created according to God in true righteousness and holiness, and it's only the father of lies that pulls us from that, distracts us from that. Remember what happened in the Garden of Eden. Did God really say, that's all he's got? But it's such a powerful challenge. Did God really say? Think about that. How many times during the day do we hear that in our ear? We sit in his word in the morning and it ministers to us and we get an aha moment, but then we get propelled into our day and did God really say peace that goes beyond understanding that guards your heart and your mind? Did God really say I will be with you, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you? Did God really say, I'm your ever-present help in time of need? Did God really say, I know what you have need of before you ask? Those are powerful did God says. And any time the sower of doubt can plant a seed, if we give him a toehold, we're done for. The battle is in our mind. Mm-hmm. We got to renew our mind. Renew our mind. Okay? Not just build up our mind. We do that, but renew our mind. We're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Mm-hmm. So we have to remember, like I said last week, a lot of the problem that Christians have is they have one foot in the world and one foot in the Lord. And they're setting themselves up for that judgment of lukewarmness, which is the middle ground that the Lord despises. Remember, I'd rather you to be hot or cold. If you're lukewarm, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. Not a good place to be. But look how many people, even today especially, are we seeing fall away from trusting the Lord completely and wrestling to do things their own way and then justify it before the Lord. Anyway, so we're to put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation is overtaking you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able." I love that he puts that in there. "But with a temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to hear it." That's 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Many times our temptations are deeply embedded or ingrained in the fabric of our being, and it is only the person of Jesus Christ that can help us overcome, conquer, and die to the old man. And the way we do that is exactly like Peter did. Lord, save me. The Lord beckoned Peter to come. And he took that bold step, and he was fine until what? Did God really say he'll take care of you? Did God really say to come out here and walk on the water? I bet I would lay my odds on it. That's exactly what Peter heard. He looked around, he saw the waves, and he saw the storm. What are you doing, Peter? Do you really think you can walk on water? Lord, save me. And what was Jesus' response? Oh, ye of little faith. Why did you doubt? That's our problem. We have got to fight the good fight of faith, as the Bible says. Because in faith, we can do extraordinary things. But the enemy is right there, barraging us constantly. But the Bible also says that if we resist the devil, he will flee. That's a powerful promise. So that tells me I have a part in this equation. And my part is I resist him. In the armory we're going to study about in chapter 6, there's a shield of faith. What's a shield for? Resisting. Resisting the fiery darts of the enemy. We raise our shield of faith. That's what it is, a shield of faith. So if I stand and I say, no, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Even the temperament and the teachings and the old man that's embedded, ingrained in the fabric of my being is possible to overcome. But it takes me saying, Lord, save me. And that's the hard part. In Romans chapter 2, verse 4, it starts out with, "Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance?" And the reason that I'm bringing that up is because we need to see God as good. We need to understand that we've been created in his image. We've been created in true righteousness and holiness. And kindness is part of that righteousness and holiness. And so when we go through life, whether it be with ourselves or with others, we've got to be kind. And that's going to be part of the conclusion of our scriptures today is kind. So I want you to keep that in mind. Being kind Our flesh doesn't want to be kind because our flesh demands its own way. Our flesh demands its own right to exist. Think about a child when a child is little. Mine. Mine. The first word is no. Anyway, one of the things that we need to remember, especially when our flesh ignites, that old man wants to stay alive and not do things in the new man, is that Jesus gave up his right to be right. Jesus gave up his right to be right. He stood before Pilate. And he says that he could bring down, if it was his father's will, he could bring down a legion of angels and they would deliver him. But he walked to the cross being mocked, being beaten, being betrayed, being spit on, being nailed to a cross, and not once did he say, I never did anything wrong. I healed you. I fed you. I gave you the wisdom of the kingdom of God. I didn't do anything wrong. He did not give a defense. He was like a lamb led to the slaughter that opened not his mouth. So these are things that we need to keep in mind when we're trying to make throw the switch of not the old man, but the new man. I'm created in righteousness and holiness. And the new man is about giving up their right to be right. Because the Lord says, vengeance is mine. In 1 Corinthians 10 says, 10:13, it says, he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. Think about it. How many times do we make an excuse for our bad behavior? We try and get out of it. The serpent. Divert. So, in order for me to fulfill putting off the old man with its corruptible lust, I must see the battle for what it is, mine. I know the battle belongs to the Lord, but the initial step belongs to me. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will save me from this body of death? If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9, right? Our job is to continue to keep our face turned towards the Lord, to seek the Lord, to immerse ourselves in his word. And then the second part is we got to know Jesus. We got to know his character. We got to know who he is. We got to know how did he handle things. And if he's our rabbi, he's our teacher, then shouldn't we as students seek to follow him? And especially with the knowledge that we're his ambassadors. So, we need to remember that when the temptation to act in the lust, corrupting lust of our flesh rises up, what we need to do is run to Jesus before anything. So that entails prayer. That entails not reacting, but quietly in prayer, seeking the Lord's wisdom through it, and entrusting the battle to him. Make the transfer. Transfer the battle to him. If I hold on to the battle becomes mine, my corruptible flesh acts out, and then I'm in trouble. And we're going to look at the things that happen in our flesh that we need to put off in just a minute. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. Okay, so let's break it down. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. This is so powerful, it casts down imaginations, which is basically everything we do every single day outside of the Word of God. Because if we're relying on our thinking, it's just imaginations, because we don't know everything. We don't know beginning to end. We don't have awareness of who's watching us right now. We don't have awareness of the real reality when the heavens get pulled back like a scroll and we see the truth of everything. We don't have that knowledge. So basically, everything that we're doing every single day that's running through our mind is basically just an imagination, unless we're washing it in the Word. So these weapons cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Meaning that everything that would try to terrorize us, would try to cause us to be anxious or fretful, everything that would make us worry, everything that would make us be afraid, is all trying to exalt itself against the knowledge of God, right? Because what are God's promises to us in regards to those things? I'm more than a conqueror in Christ. And he knows everything. He knows beginning to end. He's with me all the time. If I need wisdom, he gives it to me liberally. He's my defense. He's my high tower. He's my daily bread. He's my strength. So what is it? There is one particular thing that truly is the weapon of our warfare. The weapon of our warfare is prayer. By praying without ceasing, being in a constant state of prayer, we're walking in the Spirit, we're living in the Spirit, we're staying plugged in, we have a direct conduit to the Lord who is constantly with us. And that is a complete reconditioning of our mind, or the spirit of our mind, what motivates us. If we're the new creation in Christ Jesus and we're created according to God in righteousness and holiness, we need to stay linked into what is righteous and what is holy. And the way that we do that is through God's Spirit, okay? And staying plugged into His Spirit. And the way we do that is to pray without ceasing, is to walk through our life understanding that though we have a, and this is a different meaning, a foot here in the world, we're not of this world, okay? We are here as His ambassadors. We have been translated into heaven upon being born again. We're already immediately seated in heavenly places. We're a citizen of the kingdom of God. But we now have a job to do here on earth. But the issue is, it's like, think of an ambassador in a foreign country. The ambassador doesn't do anything in his own thinking. He always refers back to the king or the ruler that sent him, correct? Because it's not by his might or his power, it's by the Spirit of the one that sent him. So I think it's Zephaniah, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. That doesn't sound like Zephaniah. Not by might nor by power, but my Spirit, saith the Lord. It's the same thing. We need to be operating in the Spirit of the one that sent us. And the moment that it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me, it's no longer about what I want out of this life. It's about, what do you want out of this life, Lord, and how do you want to use me? It's about letting go. It's about putting off that old life with its desires and its presumed strengths, and all the things that it wanted, and actually letting go so that you can be born again into the kingdom of God, become the new creation that God created you to be. And that is, here I am, Lord, use me. And the problem is, we still keep butting up against everything that we're so familiar with, and our knee-jerk reaction is to operate in the old man, because we've been doing that for so long. So it's like a habit, right? It's like if you ever smoked, or if you ever had some nasty habit you knew was nasty, you had to get rid of it, and you knew you had to get rid of it. And whatever you did to get rid of it, you got rid of it, right? For me, it was, I walked into my closet and went, oh, I stink. Because I smoked 2 packs of cigarettes a day at one point, you know. Very short period of time, but still. So I was like, oh, poof, and I quit. But the thing is that's what we have to do with the old man. It is an ash heap. It amounts to absolutely nothing. But God, we're new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, right? And He's got exceedingly and abundantly above all we could ask or think, planned for us. So the truth of the matter is, what do I want? Do I want ashes or do I want beauty? Because He'll give us beauty for ashes. But we got to want beauty. And then that will help us to stay in a state of receiving from the Holy Spirit so that we can walk in this world of carnality but not fulfill the lusts of our flesh. That makes sense? All right. So, through prayer, we have a weapon of warfare. Through faith, we have a weapon of warfare. Through trust, we have a weapon of warfare. Through his word, we have a weapon of warfare. And through obedience to his word, actually surrender would be more like it, we have a weapon of warfare. And God says that our weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. Through God. Remember, plugged in receivership of his power? Through God, we'll see the strongholds being pulled down. But it's only turning to God going, save me. I was walking on water a minute ago. Save me. That we will be able to overcome. Overcome the lusts of our flesh. Overcome the strongholds in our imaginations. And submit everything to Christ. But again, that also takes looking at Jesus for who Jesus is. And saying, I need to be like you. If I'm your follower, if I'm your discipler, because that's what a disciple is, someone who follows Christ. If I'm a disciple of yours, shouldn't I be emulating you? Okay? And that's how we overcome. And that's how we get back to being renewed in our mind, created in God in righteousness and holiness. Anything that is of the flesh, remember, our lusts are corruptible, are corrupting. Okay? They're corruptible lusts. Our heart is deceitfully wicked. Who could know it? Okay? We are created in Christ Jesus as new creations in holiness and righteousness. But that is at the point of our surrender. In our flesh, we are deceitfully wicked. And that sets itself up for the enemy propelling us through our life. And we start gathering these strongholds of, which we're going to look at in a minute, anger, bitterness, wrath, malice. We start collecting all of these things into our lives that are anti-Christ. And those are strongholds. And the hardest thing for a Christian is to overcome the strongholds in their life. But that's because they're not understanding. And I mean, I'm the first one to step up. I'm not getting it that, Lord, how do I stay plugged into you? And I think one of this, we're kind of going off on a side note here, but I think one of the ways of staying plugged into the Lord, praying without ceasing, is to worship. Because remember, we're created to worship. We're created to worship. So if we had a constant mental state of worship, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Even in the midst of our trials and tribulations, right? He's using those. Thank you, Lord. If we kept that worshipful state continually, I think the peace that goes beyond understanding it will be ours. And all of a sudden, we'll start having different perspectives. A stronghold is negative thinking. A stronghold is being critical. A stronghold is depression. A stronghold is blaming. A stronghold is anger. A stronghold is lying. A stronghold is selfishness and self-righteousness. Last week when we looked at 2 Peter 1, we looked at that Peter started off with grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us. Through the knowledge of him. So the way that we get the grace and peace is in the knowledge of God and the knowledge of his power. And then when we have that knowledge and we have the knowledge of his word, all of a sudden we start realizing that this promise right here that he's given us all things for life and godliness needs to propel us even further into his word and also more passionately into following Christ. Because he's our example. He is the Adam who did it right. Remember, there's the first Adam and the second Adam. He is the one that did it right, where Adam chose to sin. Christ was sinless. Okay? So, by which he's given us great and exceedingly, here's my favorite part. He's given us great and exceedingly precious promises that through these we may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that we read about in verse 22 of chapter 4, that is in the world through lust. And the only way we escape the corruption of our lustful selves is to be partakers of his divine nature. How do we be partakers of his divine nature? By knowing his precious promises and then being plugged into his divine power through prayer and worship. Remember, we're created to worship. Thank you, Lord, for even this. And I love in the Life Application Study Bible, it says, God allows us to share his divine nature in order to keep us from sin and help us live for him. When we're born again, God, by his Spirit, empowers us with his goodness. In order to be a partaker of his divine nature, we need to stay plugged in, but that also helps us to keep away from sin and to live for him by the power of his Spirit. Now, I have to ask for forgiveness because I kind of jumped in before telling you the reason that I jumped in where I did. I was referring us back to what we studied last week because the very first word in verse 25 is, therefore, put away. Therefore, whenever you see therefore, you got to remind yourself what it's there for. And the reason that I'm going on more in depth of what we studied last week is because that is what's setting us up for what we need to put off. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 1 says, having therefore these precious promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Really good verse to memorize. In addition to 2 Peter, where it says he's given us great and precious promises that we may be partakers of his divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world through lust, 2 Corinthians 7:1 marries that. It says, having received these promises, dear beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now remember, back in verse 24, it said we were created by God in righteousness and holiness. So here in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, we're being told it's these promises that keep us in his holiness. So we need to know his promises, which means we need to know his word, which means we need to know Jesus, right? So part of knowing Jesus, part of knowing his promises, part of being holy is getting rid of the flesh.
Have a blessed week, and join us again next week for the Hope of Our Calling.
For more information on Hope of Our Calling, go to agapechapeloc.org/Kendra, or by email at kendramartinministries@gmail.com.